This week we read Parshas Devarim. We open up the final and fifth book of Chumash. Sefer Devarim is different than the previous four books of Chumash, Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim, in that the previous four books of Chumash were Hashem's words as dictated and transcribed to and by Moshe Rabbeinu. Sefer Devarim is different, and it tells us right when we open up, Eile HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe Al Kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe spoke. This is the soliloquy in the last month of his life as they are poised to cross the Yarden River. And of course, Moshe will die and be left behind on the eastern side of the Jordan River, while the Bnei Yisrael, led by Yehoshua ben Nun, will cross over into Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to quote an exceptionally beautiful and very moving piece by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, into the monument, into the poetry, into the testimony that is Sefer Devarim, and how Moshe Rabbeinu chose to end his life, and what he did on the last days of his life. Writes Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, imagine the following scenario. You are 119 years and 11 months old. The end of your life is in sight. Your hopes have received devastating blows. You have been told by God you will not enter the land to which you have been leading the people for 40 years. You have been repeatedly criticized by the people. Your sister and your brother with whom you shared the burden of leadership have already passed on. Neither of your children, Gershom nor Eliezer, will succeed you. Your life seems to be coming to a tragic end. Your destination and hopes unreached. Your aspirations unfulfilled. With 1 month left, what do you do? We can imagine a range of responses. You could sink into sadness, reflecting on what might have been. You could continue to plead to God to change his mind and let you cross the Jordan. You could retreat into memories of good times when the people sang a song at the Reed Sea, when they gave their assent and agreement to the covenant at Sinai, when they built the tabernacle. These might be normal human reactions, melancholy, memories, what if, what might have been. And yet Moses did none of these things, and what he did instead helped change the course of Jewish history. For a month, Moshe addressed the people on the far side of the Jordan, and he spoke to them. These speeches form the substance of the book of Deuteronomy, Sefer Devarim. They are extraordinarily wide-ranging, Moshe speaks of history and of the past. He gives a set of prophecies and warns about the future. He sets out laws, narratives, a song, a set of blessings. These are the most comprehensive, most profound vision of what is to be a holy people who are dedicated to God. He tells them how to construct a society that would stand as a role model for humanity. He teaches them how to combine freedom and order, justice and compassion, individual dignity and collective responsibility. Over and above what Moshe said in the last month of his life is what Moshe did in the last month of his life. Facing death at the age of 119 years and 11 months old, Moshe changed career. He shifted his relationship with the people. No longer was he Moses the liberator. No longer was he Moses the lawgiver, the worker of miracles, the intermediary between the Israelites and God. He became something else. The figure known as Moshe Rabbeinu, for which we remember him, for which he lives on forever, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher. Throughout the book of Devarim, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Moses reached a new level of authority and wisdom. For the first time, we hear him speak extensively in his own voice, Eile HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe. He is not only the transmitter of God's words to the people, he speaks his own words, his own poetry, his own inspiration, his own song. His grasp of vision and detail is faultless. He wants the people to understand that the laws God has commanded them are for their good, not for God's good. At this defining moment in his life, Moses understood, though he would not physically be with the people when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, the promised land, he could be with them intellectually. He will remain with them emotionally, as long as he transmits to them the teachings that they must take with them into the future. Moshe became the pioneer of perhaps the single greatest contribution of Judaism to the concept of leadership, the idea of teacher as hero. I'm going to repeat that sentences. At this defining moment of his life, instead of slipping into a depression, instead of giving up, instead of continuing to plead with God to rescind the decree, instead of his memories about the times past, instead of his thoughts about what if I had only done something differently, Moses does something else. He becomes Rabbeinu, our teacher for all of time. And he understood that even though, yes, he would not physically be present with the nation when they cross the Jordan and enter the promised land, he could remain with them intellectually, even more so emotionally, if only he transmits to them the teachings that they must take with them into the future. Moses became the pioneer of perhaps the single greatest contribution of Judaism to the concept of leadership, the idea of teacher as hero. Heroes are people who demonstrate courage in the field of battle. What Moses knew was that the most important battles are not the military ones we fight. The most important battles in the life of our nation are the spiritual battles, moral battles, and cultural battles Am Yisrael faces in every generation. While a military victory shifts the pieces on the chessboard of history, a spiritual victory changes lives. A military victory is almost always short-lived. Borders change, regimes change, leaders change. Because either the enemy attacks again or a new, more dangerous opponent appears. And so military victories are not long-lasting. But a spiritual victory, a victory of transmitting the Torah, of teaching the Torah, Lilmud Olam, Lishma, V'Lasus, V'Lakayim, a spiritual victory can, as long as the lessons are not forgotten, last forever. And so, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, even quite ordinary people can be military heroes. But those who teach people to see, to feel, to act differently, those who enlarge the moral horizons of humankind, are rare indeed. Of these spiritual heroes, Moses was the greatest. Not only, Rabbi Sacks points out, taking this idea further, does Moses become the teacher in the book of Devarim. In words engraved on Jewish hearts ever since, he tells the entire people they are charged with becoming a nation of educators. Like the Pasuk says in Devarim Perek Dal, Psukim Tes through Yud, make known to your children, make known to your children and your children's children the day you stood before the Lord your God at Har Sinai. Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, v'shinantam b'venachav dibarta b'am, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, v'lachvecha v'derech, v'shachvecha v'kumecha. Teach these words repeatedly to your children. Speak of them when you sit at home, when you travel on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Devarim Perek Vav, Sukkim Chav through Chav Aleph. In the future, when your children ask you, Ma, vodas oslachem, what is the meaning of these edus, chukim, and mishpatim that the Lord your God commanded you? You should tell them, teach them. When your child asks you, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Devarim Yeralf Yates, teach them to your children. Speak of them. When you sit at home, when you travel on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In Devarim, Rabbi Sacks points out something incredible. In Devarim, a new word enters the biblical vocabulary. That verb is the Shoresh Lamed Mem Dalid, which means to learn or teach. Lilmod ulelamed. We must study, we must learn ulelamed. We must all be teachers. Listen to this sentence. In Devarim, a new word enters the biblical vocabulary. It is the verb Lamed Mem Dalid, which means to learn or teach. Listen to this. The verb does not appear even once in Bereishis, or Shmos, or Vayikra, or Bamidbar. And yet in the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, it appears 17 times. That's incredible. It doesn't appear even once in Bereishis, or Shmos, or Vayikra, or Bamidbar. And yet in Sefer Devarim, the root word Lamed Mem Dalet, which means both to learn and teach, appears 17 times. I actually just thought of something as I'm speaking, not even when I was preparing this year, but as I'm speaking. 17 has tremendous implications in gematria because 17 is tov, tes is 9, vav is 6, is 15, and bez is 2. Tov is 17. Ayaroso ki tovu. Oh my gosh, I just thought of something, everyone. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born in the beginning of Perek Beis of Sefer Shmos, Vayelich Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Espas Levi, Tvahatahar Isha Vatele Bein, Vateryosho Ki Tovhu, Vatitzpaneu Shlosha Yerachim. When Moshe was born in the beginning of his life, his mother sees that he is good. What does Rashi say? Ki Tovhu means Tov is 17. Nismala Abayis Kula Ora. The whole house was filled with light. The light of what? The light of Torah that Moshe would eventually bring to the world. How is the light of Torah foreshadowed? Ki tov, because the Torah tells us that he was tov, he was good. What is tov? Tov is 17. Perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu was saying in this speech that becomes the masterful soliloquy of Sefer Devarim. Wow. in transmitting and imparting and reminding us that we must learn and teach. Lamed Mem Dal, this is the charge of every member of Klal Yisrael. And he repeats it 17 times, and we know when I say it 1,000 times, maybe more, that nothing in the Torah is by an accident, nothing. It's not an accident that this verb appears 17 times in the book of Devarim, which is Moshe's spiritual will, his spiritual tzava. Perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us, if you want to access the Tov, the goodness of Torah, if you want to access Kihem Chayenu Va'orach Yamenu Vahem Nego Yomam V'layla, don't forget the Tov of 17. And so I present you with the charge to be learners and teachers 17 times, corresponding to the Tov that is Torah. Continues Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Jews became the people whose hearers were teachers, whose citadels were schools, whose passion was study and life of the mind. Moses' end-of-life transformation is one of the most inspiring in all of religious history. In one act, he redeemed his career from tragedy. He became a leader not for his time, but for all of time. Though his body did not accompany the people as they entered the land, his teachings did. His sons did not succeed him, but his disciples did. He may have felt that he had not changed the people in his lifetime. They were always complaining. But in the full perspective of history, he changed our nation more than any leader has ever changed any people. He turned us into people of the book, and the nation who built not ziggurats or pyramids, but schools and houses of study. We are teachers who shape society. We hand on the legacy of the past to those who will build the future. This insight has sustained Judaism for longer than any other civilization, and it began with Moses in the last month of his life. Ela hadvar mesher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael. How powerful, how incredible, how moving, how spiritually inspiring. Lubavitcher Rabbi Zatzal famously said, if you know Aleph, go teach Aleph. We are all charged with being teachers. We are charged, every person says, in Berakas Kriya Shema, lilmod ulami, today I must learn and today I must teach. We all have a responsibility to ensure that our teachings, the teachings of Judaism, of Torah, of Moshe's Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Moshe, Emes v'Sarasso, Emes, will continue throughout the generations. And it is this that sustains Am Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much. I wish everybody Be'ezer Hashem a Shabbat Shalom and Besoros Tov, Es Kol Tov, and thank you all.